Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, welcome back to Sister Share. This is our 16th episode. We are so excited for the fun we've had making these Sister Share podcasts and also for the increased followers we have. Thanks for joining us and following us. If you've just found us recently, we are a group of six sisters that live around the world, and we have found that talking together is the best way to find answers to our motherhood questions. So we get together once a week to chat and ask specific questions of each other and find the best answers as we converse together. So who do we have here with us on this episode?
Hi, I'm Lorey calling in from Idaho.
I'm Nettie from Okinawa, Japan.
My name is Mamie from Cache Valley, Utah.
I'm Heidi from Orem.
And we have two other sisters, Katie and Becca, and hopefully they'll jump on some here this evening. But if not, they're on other episodes, and they also have a lot of wonderful ideas to share as well. Now, this episode 16, Mealtime Magic, is the third in our trilogy, Time to Eat, a trilogy of food ideas. So far in this trilogy, we've talked about healthy habits, helping kids eat well with snacking and meals, and sensible meals, saving money and being smart and frugal and not wasteful with our food. And so today we will culminate with mealtime magic, how to make our mealtimes positive and meaningful so that they can be as effective as we want them to be. And I just want to start off with a few statistics about mealtime. So Dolores Curran writes that there is a relationship between the love in the home and the richness of the family table. And studies have shown that mealtime provides a setting for moral and intellectual discussion where family values are shared. And because of the power of mealtime, family mealtimes have been associated with improved school performance and fewer behavioral problems. And they also provide opportunities for children to learn vocabulary building words that help them read well. Those are statistics shared by a Harvard professor named, let me just find it here, Sheila Gaines. I'm sorry, not Harvard, Colorado State University. So the studies and statistics show that family mealtime is vital, but we all know that with our ever-increasing lives, mealtime becomes more and more of a difficult situation for so many of us, and the chance to sit down and eat. And we talked in two of our previous episodes about the fact that some children don't even know how to sit down and eat at a meal. And so let's talk for just a minute about some of the ways to help mealtime be magical or powerful, and so that our families can benefit from all of these different reasons to eat together. Does anybody want to start or have any comments right off the bat?
I have a thought. Just as you were sharing those statistics, those are amazing statistics, Nettie, that show how powerful mealtime is, which motivates me just hearing the statistics to make it more of a priority. Usually, I'm just ready to get something on the table. I have so many other things on my mind. I'm not focused on the meal. I'm focused on what's going to happen after the meal. And like you said, if you don't put intentional effort into the meal, it can go wayside. The kids can run the conversation, or you can just eat and not say anything. And so it makes me feel like putting more energy into it instead of just giving it the least amount of effort I have. It makes me want to put a good effort into it, knowing that it's probably the most important part of the day for my family, more so than what's happening after dinner. It's the mealtime. So that's inspiring to think that I can put some effort into it. So I don't have specific ideas, just the motivation is already there, yeah, knowing those statistics.
Yeah. And that's actually our first tip, or the first thing I would share, is to plan ahead and make it worthwhile. I think, like you said, Mamie, moms are so often focused on what's next, what's after the meal. And sometimes we just want to get through it. In our family, years ago, we listened to the talks by Don Aslett. I think he's from Idaho, and he talked about different ways to keep your home clean. And he talks about, they kind of had a phrase, when his wife was gone, he would just throw a meal on the table and say, you know, eat, you little brats, and hurry up. And that always makes us laugh a little bit. But sometimes I felt that way, like, just eat the food and be done, because I'm exhausted and you're exhausted. But planning ahead can really make that time valuable. And it reminds me of what Mama always taught us, that planning ahead can be done by thinking ahead. You don't even have to sit down with a pen and pencil. Thinking is sometimes half the battle. And so just thinking ahead, what am I fixing tonight? And what do I need to do to make that be a little more successful, can really help your mealtime. What do I have in the fridge? What can I put on that's easy and nutritious? And that way you don't suddenly show up in the kitchen with no idea. So I would say definitely plan ahead, like you said, Mamie, and make it intentional.
I feel like I'm always saying this, but family council is a good time. So finding the time to do it, I feel like, is part of the battle of mealtime. I love the statistics, and I think there are so many of us who have kids in soccer or ballet or dance or after school programs that finding the time to sit down as a family is hard. And I realize that we put our kids in other programs because we want to teach them values, teamwork or perseverance or health or whatever. But the statistics about the value of family meals is amazing. I almost think it outweighs some of these other things that we're hoping to teach our kids in some ways. I mean, they can learn love and compassion and kindness and social structure at a good meal. So I think finding the time to do it and making it a priority is probably a little tricky. I know that sometimes, especially at the beginning of a school year, when we see what our schedule is going to look like, it helps us in family council to sit down, recognize the priority of eating together, and figure out what the best time is for everybody. When's Jared done teaching classes? When is everybody going to be home from school? When do we have to leave again for young men, young women, or work, or whatever? So then we decide, when is dinner? And everybody commits to that.
Yeah. And all the statistics or benefits we've talked about, you mentioned more of them, Larae, and also it's that manners, teaching kids manners. But I would say when you plan ahead, for me, the crock pot is my best friend. I can throw something in there at the beginning of the day and it's ready in that little window of time that we might all actually be home. Or if you are on the go and you have a soccer game or something, you know, you can still kind of maintain that we eat together as a family idea and take a pizza or a bucket of chicken with you and grab a salad and sit on the lawn and eat before the game. Or if a parent is working late, then, you know, take dinner to the office. We've done that before. We've taken our meal into the office where Mark's eating. Or you can always, of course, you know, have freezer meals ready to go. So that planning ahead can be done in a lot of different ways. And I also have to say, I love your thoughts about how we want kids to learn teamwork or something from these extracurricular. Let's not forget everything they can learn from the mealtime.
I also would say being present. When you were sharing your ideas, Larae and Nettie, planning ahead, we think of planning the menu, but also when it's actually mealtime, it sends a message to our children. If we actually sit down, put down our phones as a parent, don't answer any calls that come through, and just talk to them and be with them. That shows that they are valuable to us, that we value the time with them. Often I'll find myself just so busy as a mom in the morning, I'll put the breakfast on, but I know if I don't sit down, I can have the dishes done before everybody leaves, right? But lately I have recognized that this is my time with my high schoolers. When they sit down with their bowl of oatmeal, I should be sitting there with my bowl of oatmeal so that we can have that conversation. So being present is a good one.
That's great, Mamie. And I would share it by saying delete distractions. as another tip for mealtime magic, and especially when now so many members of the family have a distraction in their pocket. It's easy to just put your phone on the table and while you're eating suddenly, oh, bing, someone texted me, or oh my gosh, I forgot to message this person. And sometimes we've gone so far as to say, we're just having a phone basket. Like, before you come to the meal, put your phone over there. And I've even had to do this for my busy husband and just say, we just need 15 minutes of your time tonight. And I'm sure all these people messaging you constantly can wait 15 minutes. Put your phone away and let's just be present. There was a study done and they found that a large percentage, more than half of dinners eaten with elementary students were eaten while watching TV. And let me see, the Dr. Karen Cullen with the Agricultural Research Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture said that family meals are important for children from both a nutritional and a developmental standpoint. And so if you're watching a meal or watching a screen during a meal, then you're missing those important opportunities to talk and communicate and help your children develop vocally and with their vocabulary and their thinking and their development.
Nettie, I would also say when in our planning that we should plan conversation, good uplifting conversation. One thing that we do as a family that I know many of you do also, we learned at Philmont Scout Ranch, which is to share a rose and a thorn and a bud. And that's an easy one that everybody's familiar with. And we'll just say, okay, everybody share their rose, thorn, and bud. It gives everybody a chance to talk. And the rose stands for something that was wonderful about their day. The thorn is something that was sad about their day. And the bud is something that they're looking forward to. So just helping each other connect with what was happening in our lives, because we're all over the place. But when we come home at mealtimes, then we can know a little bit about what everyone's feeling, what everyone's experienced. And having the rose and the bud brings a positive light to it, so that it's not all about all of the bad parts about our day. It's pulling the good and the bad and sharing together. We love it.
Mame, you're completely reading my mind on this episode, because tip number three I was going to bring up is keep it positive and make sure we use mealtimes to share the good news from the day. We definitely don't want to delve into negative conversation or make family members feel like they don't want to be at mealtime. And like you say, we need to be present and listen when our children speak. And that's what makes mealtime magic, when you're all there talking about, like you say, the roses and the thorns, the good and the bad, but the bad in a way that you're going to turn it to good, and sharing what's happened to you and feeling heard and noticed and loved while you're eating. It's really a beautiful, magical time.
Okay, so I always have more questions than comments. Are you ready for my question?
We're all ready, Heidi.
I agree that mealtime is a great place to teach manners. And I feel like sometimes we get so focused on the manners that it's not an enjoyable experience for the kids anymore. So how do you teach manners during mealtime while you also are letting it be an enjoyable time? I mean, the kids will just take over and it's a great time and everyone's having fun and everyone gets silly and everyone's laughing. And I don't know, where's the balance of teaching how to sit well at a table, and, you know, where fun ends and silly begins, and we need to calm down and have it be a fun place, but also a place to teach manners.
Heidi, I'm so glad you asked. This is an idea we developed probably 2 decades ago when we had littler and a lot of little children at home. But first of all, I just have to say that one of the greatest parenting tips, I think, comes from Mary Poppins when she says, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And I think any time we can sweeten a lesson or make it palatable or manageable or enjoyable for kids, then it's a win. And so for us during mealtime, we noticed, yeah, it's fun to eat and chat, but if our kids don't know how to chew with their mouth closed, or, you know, cut up their spaghetti, or not talk when they're eating, then it is uncomfortable, and they're not growing up as the incredibly responsible humans that we want them to. So we developed what we call Mama's Manners. And a few times a year, I mean, not every meal, but on Sunday in our family council, we'll say, okay, this week is Mama's Manners. And this week we're working on sit up straight in your chair while you eat. Don't slouch over the table and shovel your food into your mouth. So then when we get to the meal, then in front of everyone's plate, we'll put 3 pennies or maybe 3 M&Ms or something like that. And then during the meal, if only the parents, not the siblings, if the parents see somebody, you know, oh, they forgot, they've bent over and slouched, we'll just slip a penny away. And you have up to 3 chances by the end of the meal. You can trade those pennies for an M&M, or if the M&Ms are on the table, then you eat the M&M. But it's been kind of a fun and a little more relaxing way to formally teach the kids. Today we're sitting up straight. Today we're chewing with our mouth closed. Today we're checking to see that if you cut your meal with your fork and knife, you know, correctly, and then you lay your fork and knife next to your plate. Or today we're just taking small bites of food. Or today we're trying to make sure that everybody's served, we pass to the right, and once everyone is served, then we start eating. Things like that. That kind of gives Mark and I the chance to bring up specific manners without making it too uncomfortable and making it also a game. So that's one idea.
That's a great idea, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
Mama's manners. And the others? And if we don't do it for a while, sometimes my older kids will be like, Mama, the little kids need Mama's manners. Did you see how they were chewing? Then we try it again.
Love it, Ned. We'll have to try some Mama's manners. Usually, if I see some poor behavior, then I try to find one that's some child who's doing the right behavior, and I'll compliment them very vocally, and then everybody gets the message. Like, I love how Ruthie doesn't have her elbows on the table tonight, or I love how Joshua is chewing with his mouth closed, and then everybody realizes it could be them. If it's not the person I'm talking to, if they're not the person I complimented, then I might be thinking about them.
What's the poem Mama and Pa used to say? Mabel, Mabel, fair and able, get your elbows off the table. I feel like that's from years ago. Once or twice they would say that to us.
Yeah. I also have often throughout my life heard people talk about their angel mothers and how wonderful they all were. And so sometimes I remind myself that I need to be better about my own manners. I need to be an example myself. I need to not be up and down from the table getting things or putting things on. I need to sit down, eat politely, not rush, and be an example to my children of grace and courtesy and manners.
I want to just point out that mealtimes every day, we usually think breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but there are other times where we are eating together that we can take advantage of. For us, we have older kids, and so we'll put the little kids to bed, and there are several times a week where we'll get something out and just stand around the kitchen and eat together. And yes, we're not sitting, we're not practicing manners per se, but it's a positive. We can make it into a positive environment. That's usually when our kids will open up. We'll share. We're giving each other time, valuable time, and being present. I also know that Heidi and her family just recently had a Leatherbees to celebrate their good report cards. What's Leatherbees? That's where they have, Heidi, you tell about it, but that's another positive environment that she used with eating, where everyone's eating together. There's something about eating together as a family that is very bonding and uplifting. So Heidi, can you tell us about Leatherbees?
Yeah, well, we grew up with Leatherbees. Leatherbees is an ice cream place that's in Yukon, a couple towns. And it was known for huge servings of ice cream that you could order one thing and 3 people could eat it. So in our family, it was kind of synonymous with all-you-can-eat ice cream. So that's what it is in our family. I mean, I'm sure everyone has their own tradition, but we still call it Leatherby's, and it just means all-you-can-eat ice cream. And we usually make a fun menu that's coded, you know, that the kids come up with fun little names for different things, and no one knows what the treat is going to be that you get served. And so they just name the different ice cream dishes after different things that we've done for the year to celebrate the school year. And then we order and the kids serve it. And it's just a really fun evening to celebrate the school year.
That's super fun, Heidi.
So fun. Okay, I just want to move on to another tip here. And that would be to share the load. I know that sometimes it's hard to have mealtimes because it feels like a production, at least for me. I've got to make the meal, we've got to serve the meal, we've got to eat the meal, then we've got to clean up the meal. And it would be so much easier if everyone just grabbed a bowl, put some cereal in it, put some milk on it, shoveled it into their mouth, and then we were done. But the truth is that mealtimes are so valuable. They're so much better than everyone just eating on their own when they want, especially in a family setting. And so one way to manage all the work that goes along with a mealtime is, of course, to share the work and use all the hands that you have. So anyone who's eating should be involved with helping to prepare the meal or set the table or clean up the table or wash the dishes or sweep the floor. In my opinion, if you eat a meal, you should not stand up and leave. You should stand up and help. And that's the price you pay for eating with your family. And we talked a little bit about this in the previous two episodes of this food trilogy, is some of the jobs that children can do to eat and participate. But another thing that makes mealtime helpful is some of the formality of it. And make sure that there's a beginning and an ending to the meal. So for our family, the beginning of the meal happens after we're all sitting down. We're not eating yet. We're sitting down together, and then we have a blessing on the food, or grace. We offer gratitude for the food, and that marks the beginning of the meal. Then we can start passing food, and once the food is passed, then we can start eating. And then we also have a formal end to the meal. When you're finished, when a reasonable amount of time has gone by and we're ready for to start moving on to the next activity, then we've been taught to say, please excuse me and thank you for this meal. And that is your signal to ask your parents, I can get up from the meal now and eat, and move on to my part of doing the dishes or cleaning up or whatever it is. So I think having a beginning and an end, whatever works in your culture. In Japan, to begin the meal, they say itadakimasu, I humbly partake. And at the end, they say gochiso sama deshita, you know, I'm honorifically filled with this food. Thank you so much. So think about that to make mealtimes helpful and effective.
I would also say, going along with that and the formality and the positive atmosphere that we talked about, expressing gratitude for the food. We had a really good example in our home growing up. Pa would always express gratitude for the food, even if it was just oatmeal. He would say, oh, we are so lucky to be eating this delicious hot oatmeal for breakfast. And just saying something simple like that as a parent can go a long way in showing a child that we are grateful for our food, and teaching them, like you said at the end, to be grateful. Thank you so much for this meal before they get down is so important and something that's lacking in our society today.
I think gratitude is important too. We have so many things, and we might not always be served food we like, but we can be grateful and eat things we don't appreciate or don't like, and grateful for the effort that was made in our behalf. We try to teach our children that too.
You may not like it, you may not love it, but you can still eat it and show gratitude to the effort of making it and putting it on the table.
So true.
I also will say that we talked about sharing the load, and mostly in terms of having children help clean it up. And on busy weekdays, that is usually what we do. But I also appreciate on Sundays, I'll try and share the load of the meal. So we'll have a nicer meal on Sunday usually, and maybe four or five different parts of the meal, like a salad, a vegetable, a biscuit, the rice, the meat, the dessert. And so I will just, after church, say, okay, tonight, this is what's on the menu. Who wants to make this? Who wants to make this? Who wants to make this? And I'll pair up the littles with the older people. And they are they love to eat what they have helped to make. So it's nice to also involve children in the making of the meal when possible.
Good point.
And Mame, I love that idea. And one thing I've just come to realize the last couple of weeks, I have little kids that I'm trying to teach how to cook in the kitchen. And I have someone assigned to be my meal helper, but I rarely use them because I start making the meal at the same time I usually do. And then I realize they'll come in and want to help, and I can't have them help because I know it's going to take so much longer to have them help. And so I've just come to realize I want them to learn, but I have to plan ahead enough time. I have to now start making the meal, you know, 30 minutes earlier than I'm used to having the meal if I want them in the kitchen helping me. So that's something I've come to realize that I really want to happen. But when I haven't planned ahead, it doesn't happen because I've got to get in there and get it done in the time that I'm used to and get it on the table so that the schedule works. So that's something I'm realizing with little kids. It takes longer.
That's another great point, longer, honey.
But well worth it, huh?
Well, I would just say that the final point is to add some spice to your mealtime. If the mealtime matters to the mother, then the children and the spouse will feel that. And it might take some time, but they'll come around to understand that this is important and we're gonna make this a priority. And sometimes you can do something different just to make it fun for your family and spice it up a little bit. You know, maybe fix a really fancy meal or serve the meal on china sometime or put a note on everyone's plate or ask everyone to bring their favorite poem to share it at dinner or just light a candle. I think one of the easiest things you can do for a meal is to set the table and make sure that the plates are set and the forks and the knives and the spoons and put a napkin under the fork and put a tablecloth on the table. That's so easy. And sometimes I just go out and get a new tablecloth, a bright one for spring or something for fall, and put it on the table. And the kids sit up and say, oh my goodness, everything looks so different. And it kind of reinvigorates our family and our conversation. So think of creative ways you can do that. We've talked about this so much in our episodes and our podcast, but go the last 3% and make it worthwhile sometimes to keep your spirits up and to keep the energy going.
We have actually done that meal where everybody brings a poem and shares, and it's so much fun. And another one that we did where we all brought a favorite book, like a paragraph from our favorite book, and just shared a favorite paragraph. And it makes me want to do it again. I hadn't thought about that for a long time, but it is so much fun to do something exciting and different.
Those are great ideas, babe. I think we'll do those this summer.
Great for summer, for sure.
Here's another one that we've done that's not helpful for manners, but really fun to do, kind of just to spice things up, be it out of the box. We got a plastic tablecloth. This was maybe a year ago. Put it on the table and served dinner without plates. And we served spaghetti, and we had spaghetti sauce, and we had the vegetable and the salad. We didn't serve any utensils, and we didn't have it on plates. And so each child was using their hands, and that made it extra messy, but it was fun. They were using their hands and their feet, their mouths to eat the spaghetti, and it was messy and fun and just spiced it up a little bit just for one time.
That sounds so fun.
Okay, I have another one. I just love in the summertime, which we just started, to eat outside. I love eating outside. So anywhere you are in the world, if you can, when the weather's warm enough, eat outside. It's so peaceful and enjoyable. Well, maybe not everywhere. I guess if you live in a city, it wouldn't be, but just being outside in the fresh air while you eat adds so much to a meal.
I totally agree, Mamie. And I think we grew up with this mindset that, like, if the weather's good, we're going to eat out on the patio. And we've done that a lot here in Japan. We have a patio and our tables out there. And actually, we do live in the city. And the mealtime is when a lot of people are walking past. They're walking their dogs. They're walking home from work or school. Our neighbors are out. And it's kind of made it fun to connect with people in the neighborhood. They'll be walking by and, you know, we can just say hello, or they'll say hello and talk through the fence for a minute. And so I totally agree. Eat outside. In fact, I feel like I'm kind of at the point where if it's a beautiful day, I don't feel right eating inside. We should be out eating in the fresh air. And it also makes the mess a little bit nicer too. If someone spills on the patio, you just sweep it up instead of have to remop your kitchen floor.
One other thought I had is for people like Heidi that still have littles, it can be helpful to, well, I don't know that we've talked about the buddy system in another episode, but just having an older child by a younger child so that as a mother, you don't have to be walking around the table during the meal, feeding people, cutting things up. If you have children that can help with that, it can be helpful to do that. Just another thought, meal time a little more magical and easy.
Good idea. I think the overall message is flavor to taste. Make your mealtimes work for you. If you're eating outside, if you're making it a picnic, if you're eating on the go, if you're eating at home, if you're never home at dinner time and so breakfast is your family meal, do what works for your family, but let your children and your spouse know that mealtime is a priority and you're going to make it work. I just have to say that living in Okinawa right now, our lives with so many teenagers and busy travel job for my husband and busy church assignments, and I'm working full time. I think this is the hardest it's ever been for us to eat together as a family. And several times a week, we actually take our meal and eat it at the church or wherever we are. But we found that Sunday is the one day that in the afternoon, we can all sit down and eat. And we have a saying now. It kind of makes me emotional to share it. But Sunday afternoons, we're all finally home and we all sit down and we have a meal. And it has become our favorite time. We can catch up on everything. We just laugh until we cry. We share funny stories. We eat. We pause. We make popcorn. We eat again. And we always say to each other on Sunday, this is our favorite time of the whole week. It's finally the time we can be together. And so I have a testimony of family mealtime and how valuable it is, not just intellectually and socially, but spiritually as well. And I challenge our listeners to take a look and reimagine your family mealtime and prioritize it. Any other closing thoughts?
Nope, I just second what you said, Nan. Such an important part.
Okay, I'm going to go on the quick rundown quickly of tips. Plan ahead, delete distractions, keep it positive, share the load, add some spice, flavor to taste. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to our podcast anywhere that podcasts are posted on any platform. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another sister share.
Hey, love you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.